Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. So this stuff is really comfortingly evergreen, as I was saying, that in a world where everything changes, I think it's fantastic to get down a skill set, knowing that it's going to be good for decades rather than months.
Oh, absolutely. And I had mentioned that I'm glad you asked that question, or we talked about this, because not only things like speech, like this book from Dale Carnegie, which is 50 or 60 years old, yet the information still works in the marketplace. And it's really because human nature doesn't change. The distribution platforms can change. You know, it might be Facebook or Instagram one day, and now YouTube's more popular. Amazon is the way we sell, but that might change in the future. But the thing that doesn't change is human nature. And I guess, you know, for me, I'm always a big advocate of studying what works historically. And, you know, a good example of that is in the direct response marketing field and how they sold in a Sears catalog and sold products direct to consumer in a Sears catalog. And then there's direct mail, and the copywriting used in direct mail is totally applicable to copywriting and emails that work. And so the more you understand the foundational principles underlying these things, the better equipped you'll be as a marketer and implementing the things. So, you know, like we talk about reading books, especially books from people that have been successful in past decades or generations, it might seem silly, but I learned a lot from doing that, and it is applicable in the present day.
Absolutely. So that's great to learn that your structure is based on the Dale Carnegie thing, and that's still working. Let's come back to a couple of the nuts and bolts, because I guess the implicit promise at the beginning of this episode was we're going to teach you the nuts and bolts about video marketing, or maybe I even stated it explicitly. So let's talk about the money side. So we obviously talked about the fact that you've got to put a budget aside, but we've got to keep it affordable. So how do we do a sort of minimum viable product video? So we talked about testing and the fact that you need to start from the right principles. What are the other ways of how to get started in the most affordable way possible whilst actually building an asset that's going to work?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I had made a comment that I felt marketing was easier today in some respects because of all the different opportunities that are out there and the fact that anybody can get in. And if you think about what it took to make a video, and this just goes back 10 years ago, where you had to hire a crew and an expensive camera, and the old cameras, video cameras back then that made quote unquote TV quality video would cost $50,000 or $60,000. So the part about lower barriers of entry is really the quality of the video you can produce on your iPhone or Android phone is just, it's 4K. That's the same quality that you can shoot with expensive cameras. So just two really little aspects where people fall down in making their own videos are they can get the visual part right, which the phone does for them. But the two areas that really distinguish a good video that people will more apt to watch is really lighting and sound. And, you know, there's some really, again, you can go online or on Amazon, and for less than $100, you can buy both a lighting kit and a little sound kit. And those two little things are really what's going to increase the quality of any video you produce rather than just using your phone alone.
That's very interesting to hear that. And I've got friends of mine who are professional product photographers, amongst other things, and a lot of corporate photography of things like, you know, events where corporate conferences, but he also did some video stuff, and he's really obsessed with lighting. And he did some really good shots on in his Instagram feed with his iPhone. But actually, you know, it's not about the phone these days. As you say, they all do 4K, what have you. But it's about the lighting side of it and sound as well. And I was just thinking guiltily about I'm using a decent sound setup, but I'm probably my lighting for the podcast has been distinctly amateurish for about 3 years. It's probably time I actually spent like $100 or something on Amazon. As you say, that it's not hard these days to get it right. And there's so many YouTube videos and stuff. I think actually, yeah, that you can probably solve a lot of this stuff quite easily, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was just trying to look for the name of the one I just ordered on Amazon. It was less than $100, but it was a lighting kit that has an attachment you can put. It's like a circular light bulb, you know, just for it's one I use, but it was recommended to me for other people. It's UB size. So it's UBEESIZE. And it's a ring light that basically has a remote control, and you can set it up in 2 minutes, and it has an attachment for your iPhone, and it really provides just really great lighting so that your video looks really good. So very, very simple thing to do something like that.
That's like, yeah, it's a shame. I don't know if you're an investor, but it's a shame if you're not. It's like another GoPro thing. And by the way, that exciting sound of shuffling we can hear in the background is Rick looking in real time for the answer for this.
Yeah, sorry about that.
<laughs> It's okay. You're adding a bit of, you know, verisimilitude to how it all works. But there's a few basics. And like a lot of these things, as you say, you're not the one to focus on the technology side so much, because actually that's pretty taken care of if you actually just make the effort. It's a mental barrier thing you have to overcome, and then a bit of YouTubing and then a bit of Amazon buying, right? So the content is the most important thing, as you say.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's what I talk about in my book. But let me share something that I've found very useful, and I'm promoting it because I use it myself and I believe in it. But if your listeners will go online to a website, I think it's called Video Marketing Institute, and I've bought their basic subscription, I think, which is like $500. He does an amazing job of really getting into detail in every aspect of creating video for Pinterest, for Instagram, how to get your YouTube videos ranked. And again, in doing my research and looking for different, his name's Adam Payne. And I believe he's, I don't know if you've heard of Adam Payne before. This will be silly. He's from Great Britain, but he lives in Tokyo now. And he speaks at a lot of conferences. But his course is one that I highly recommend because he really cares about the people that subscribe to it as far as helping them be successful. And any aspect of online video, he covers everything. And it's just a good resource. I wouldn't be sharing it on your podcast if it wasn't something that I didn't use myself.
Great. Well, that sounds really, really positive and quite nice to hear there's another Brit out there, and a lot of Brits abroad that I know who have very interesting take on life, and they're doing the kind of digital nomad thing, I suppose, in some ways. But that's, that's certainly definitely worth checking out. We'll put that in the show notes. And by the way, if you want to find the show notes, go to 10kcollective.com. Not even sure exactly which episode number this is going to end up being, somewhere in the 40s. But if you go to 10kcollective.com and look for Rick's episodes, then we will certainly put some links in there. So a couple of last minute questions on the practical side, and then I know we're going to do a separate episode more about the broader picture, although we've touched on it already, which I love. One question is, okay, when to scale up? We've got the minimum viable product and we've got to test things. And we've already said about how to minimize the cost. Number one, good principles. So follow your general principles, and also maybe the specific things that this chap, Adam Payne, can offer. Find examples that work. And then we've talked about cheaper ways to handle the production. And it sounds like don't fuss about the camera, get the lighting and the audio right. So then eventually, though, we've got to go, okay, we found something that works. Where's that point, and where do you start scaling up and investing?
Well, that really, when you hit the nail on the head when you said you find something that works. So when I go into different companies, and look for way. And most of all of them are looking for how to, they're already successful in the marketplace and they're looking, you know, how do we scale from where we are to, you know, 5X, 3X, 5X, 10X, whatever. I always try to find what the one product or channel is. Instead of doing a shotgun approach, it's kind of, you're finding that one thing that works, that people are responding to, and that you can put ad dollars into where you get a return. And I don't care if it's spending, you know, $50 a week on Facebook, if you're getting a return, a positive return on that based on the break-even model I was telling you before, find the channel that you can make successful and gear that up. And so that's kind of a general answer. So when you answer your question, how do we know when to scale up? It's when you've discovered or figured out an ad channel, it doesn't matter what the platform is, where you're getting back, and I use a rough rule of thumb, $2 in revenue for every dollar in advertising, then that's the one where you pour your resources into. Because what I've found throughout my career is once you find the key that unlocks that one channel, it will continue to work. It, you know, people are sometimes afraid, like, well, if I spend twice as much, it might not work. And I'm talking about, and I'll use TV as one example, where we might go out and do a media test and spend $5,000 and we get a good positive result. We'll ramp that up. And until the results start to diminish, and we've been able to ramp up campaigns where they're spending as much as $1 million a month on advertising. And that's how the businesses really scale quickly. But that same thing would hold true through any of the digital advertising channels. So to answer your question is, the hard work and the initial money is spent figuring out, creating that video, figuring out where that video ad or video itself can run, and then figuring out how you can use the direct response model of generating revenue per ad dollar. And when you find that channel that works for you, even on a small scale, really hyper-focus on that one thing and scale your business through that.
I like it, hyper-focused. That's very good. And so, Gase, what you're saying is find what works and then keep doing more of it. So one question that springs to mind then, to be specific, is Facebook ad fatigue. Now, I'm not a big Facebook marketer. I always feel like a lot of things, it's one of the many areas I feel I must educate myself and do a lot more in. So I understand that's a real thing though, because you can actually run out of audience if you've got a limited sort of lookalike audience. So how do you deal with that specific issue, for example?
Yeah, that's a good one. And I haven't ran into that. I've heard that same exact thing, not just from you, but for many other people. And I just have to be give you an honest answer. I don't know the answer, a good answer for you, that I haven't had that experience myself, actually.
So what channels have you experienced? Because obviously that's another way of flipping it on its head, to say if Facebook ads can fatigue and other forms of channels don't fatigue so much, then it's worth longer term focusing on the other channels. So what channels have you found?
Well, I do have a kind of a good answer for you. Is the other thing we try to do when we go into companies, and especially Amazon businesses, and you'll know this, is trying to help them build their database of customers outside of Amazon, rather than necessarily selling product, whether it's a directly or a two-step type of thing to a landing page from Facebook. We'll try to build the mailing list through different opt-ins or type of thing, and then really try to build the business. And it's a little bit, it's a slower way of doing it, but creates more value for the business itself through building the email list and then doing the marketing, the product marketing through emails. We had talked prior to the interview here about one of the companies I'm working with called Puria, and we're helping them build out some email campaigns and helping them really build their mailing list to create more sales and more value for the company. So I kind of skirted your question again and didn't give you a real good direct answer, but those are just things that we're doing in the marketplace right now that are working for companies.
Great. Well, in the end, I mean, finding out what is working and rather than worrying about what isn't is very smart. But one question I have got, I mean, obviously, thank you for sharing that example, because I think that's, again, one of the things that goes around our mastermind. So I think they're reasonably cutting edge somehow by accident, not because I'm so clever, but because I've just been smart enough to attract some clever people and hang on to them, I guess.
Well, you're dealing with people that are actually in the marketplace doing it, and they're communicating what's working for them. And that's what's working in the marketplace. And you talk about the Facebook fatigue, and it seems like the feedback I'm getting from different people is the YouTube advertising is working from an ROI standpoint much more effectively than Facebook right now.
It's exactly the question that I was wanting to get the answer to is like, what are the alternative sale or marketing rather than sales channels and what's working? So YouTube maybe has got more of an evergreen quality to it than Facebook ads by the sound of it. I mean, certainly it seems that you haven't personally experienced the ad fatigue thing, but a lot of us hear about it. Whereas YouTube, you're saying your clients have got more consistent results. So in other words, if something works and they scale up and put money into it, it continues to work. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's really, really huge. I think that's, it's very interesting how things go through fashions and waves. The email marketing is so totally unfashionable. And I talk to people, very smart people who I respect who are into chatbot marketing. And I'm sure that there's very powerful reasons to get into it apart from anything else because the open rates are very high now. But what I was saying that one of the members of the 10K Collective, who's a very sharp guy, quite young, but seems to have a sort of older head on him, sort of he's looking for evergreen things. And they are starting to see great success with some email marketing they're doing for some clients as an agency. And so that's one very old school thing that goes back, you know, in internet years, decades.
Yeah, that still works. People, it's one of those things that people, oh, you know, emails, but they still work. There's a supplement company that I work with in Seattle called Natural Stacks. They make supplements for the brain, and they've built their whole business based on email marketing and have been growing very successfully for 4 years in a row now.
That's so fascinating. I mean, a lot of it, you know, the video, it's like a lot of these things. I mean, okay, you start with video, but where do you go next? I mean, the obvious answer for the cash-strapped entrepreneur is quite naturally directly to an Amazon listing, make a sale. But what you're implying, I suppose, is that if you've got faith enough and if you do it again properly, that the building an email list still does have proper commercial financial value. And it's a question of how you do it. But the other thing you're bringing is that YouTube seems to have more staying power and you can scale it up and it doesn't sort of fatigue in the way that you, Facebook marketing does. This is very interesting.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing in the marketplace right now.
Very interesting. So what would you say are the best practices, to be specific again, bearing in mind that we're trying to be quite actionable in this episode? What are the best practices for YouTube marketing that you've either done yourself or seen your clients using?
Let me use the example of one of my clients, Pluggable, which they're a high eight-figure Amazon seller. I mean, they're in the top 150 companies that sell on Amazon. They're in a tough category, computer peripherals. They're the largest seller of docking stations on Amazon. And they're competing against, you know, giants like Anchor and other companies. And they have a strategy when it comes to video where every time they do a new product, they'll create a YouTube video for every product that comes out and they deploy that on their YouTube channel, which I think they have like 15,000 subscribers. And then they take the video and use that on their product listings as well. Obviously find that the videos help the conversions. And so one of the things that I'm working with them on is go, you know, circle back a you know, 360 degrees when we started talking is making those videos more effective and building in call to actions and building in infographics just so that they have a basic thing that, and they've been doing this for 8 years. So, and using video, like I just described to you, for 8 years now. And if you go to the Pluggable, you know, look them up online, you can see their YouTube channel. You know, it's real important for people, I think, that the founder, your business has an origin story. Bernie Thompson is the CEO and founder of the company. And when you go to their YouTube channel, the first video you see is the story of why he started Pluggable. People want to know why you've done something. I think that both on your e-commerce site, if you have one, and YouTube channel, you should definitely have an origin story of like, okay, why am I doing it? Why am I selling this product? What, you know, people are curious now, even more so, I think, than ever before about the why behind companies. And again, the best way to communicate that is with a short video interview. So I think that a strategy like they're using, it's hard to argue with success. And if you can look at what they're doing, both on YouTube, on their website, and on Amazon, and there's a consistency between the messaging and the use of video, is a real good model for people to follow.
As you say, you can't argue with success like that. So yeah, what they're doing on YouTube, own site, and Amazon, and also the consistency between those. I think that's, again, if you're looking at brand building, I guess that's one of the things that really good brands, they have all sorts of kinds of consistency, from the deep sort of messaging they're trying to put across to graphic designers who say that if you have the letter I here, it can't be bigger than 30 points and it must never be bigger than the C, and it must be all sorts of precision, right? But that consistency is what creates that consistent message with the watching public, I guess. So thank you for mentioning that as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the bigger things you can do to build your brand is consistency in your logo, your colors, your, you know, these are all things that I'm not, we talked earlier, not big on that part of the branding, but I'm a big believer in the consistency. And that goes back to every time you're making a video and you're putting that brand logo, you're not only telling the people what the video is going to be about, but you're making a brand impression on people, and you're starting small, but eventually you might create a video that gets passed around and you have 100,000 viewers or more. And if you are starting it with that logo and your branding look and feel, you're doing that much to enhance your brand.
Excellent. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that sort of consistency across all platforms and across all media is again, one of the things that's probably what grown-up branding's about. And I guess that doesn't mean that you can't get money while you're doing so. So now, one final topic that's on the more sort of actionable side of things is Amazon Live. People have started mentioning it. It sort of seems very experimental. I don't know much about the detail myself. I certainly haven't experimented with it personally. Is there anyone you've come across having any meaningful success with it yet?
No, and I have had experiment. I was really pushing my client Pluggable to do Amazon Live, and we probably did about a half a dozen. And I was excited about it because I thought that this would be very similar to like a QVC or a home shopping, but that you had the ability to do it in your office. And the fact that you could demonstrate the product live would unquestionably help sales. So I really pushed them into doing it. And like I said, we did at least half a dozen of them. And then we'd repurpose the Amazon Live, or we'd do Facebook Live at the same time we were doing the Amazon Live. And this is our experience only. We haven't had any success at it because Amazon itself isn't doing a good job of providing an audience for the Amazon Live broadcast. And they have the ability to do that. And I don't know why they wouldn't be doing it. We've tried it. We haven't had success, and it wasn't worth, at least up till now, hasn't been worth the amount of time that it would take to set up and do the presentation. And I really haven't heard any feedback yet from anybody that was having success with it. And it mainly, I think, has to do with their, you know, how do you get viewers? How do you get an audience to see what you're doing? And that's something that I think Amazon controls, and they're not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Thank you so much for that. It's a very interesting little case study with some very serious people. I mean, you know, there's you who's sold, you know, $1 billion worth, or helped drive $1 billion worth of GoPro and Lean Green Grilling machines, and Pluggable doing eight figures So if it's not working for you, I think that's a very good litmus test. And I guess the medium being straight enough to do and the hard bit getting an audience. Listen, I'm a podcaster. I can relate to that. It's always about the audience.
Right, exactly.
It's the same when I was a musician, you know, back in the day. I mean, if you put a concert on, yes, you've got to get a venue, you've got to get a piano that's in tune. You've got to assemble an orchestra. But if you've got the money, you can assemble the experts. They'll turn up, strangely enough. They want to make a living. The audience is the hard bit. Always. So
yeah, it's funny. It's the same thing in the seminar business. I've put on live seminars for years and years, and it's really the secret of that is how do you get the audience into the butts in the seat is what they would say, and how to do it at an economical price. But it's the same way. It's you know, and really if you think about marketing and advertising, that's really, you know, can you figure out a way to get people to see your products and be aware of your business in a way that pays for itself? And it's all about awareness and audience and how do you capture that?
Excellent. It is well put. And maybe the thing is that Amazon is, if you think about it, Facebook Live works so well. We think it's just kind of, you know, audiences are just wandering the streets. But the truth is that Facebook has spent billions and billions of dollars and hired the smartest guys they can get, guys and gals, to create a sticky website where you do get an audience. But Amazon is not geared to that at all. I mean, it's geared to bringing in shoppers. It's a shopping mall. You wouldn't expect a shopping mall to be great at putting on concerts. And I guess they're not geared to that yet, you know?
Yeah. Now it's in their interest. It's definitely in their interest to make this work. So I don't think they're going to give up on it because, again, it goes back. If you're demonstrating a product live and you're talking about the features and the benefits, you're going to sell more of that product than somebody that isn't doing that. So I think that they're eventually going to figure this out. But as of now, it's, at least for us, it's not worth the time or effort.
That is such a great bit of feedback. I mean, so while I suppose what you're saying is two very fashionable channels for whatever reason for Amazon sellers, one of which obviously is Amazon itself, and the other one is Facebook. You know, it's all very well being nice in theory, but in practice, at the moment, your experience says quite simply, YouTube produces the more evergreen return on investment and email marketing. So let's stick with that, which are very proven, known products and programs. There's a huge amount of information out there, probably too much on Google SEO, and therefore there's quite a lot on YouTube SEO, which is a different beast but related. So in the end, there's so many reasons to do it that it just makes sense to get on with it. And you're quite right that Amazon is so much in Amazon's interest and they're great at developing new products, but it's so outside of their current skill set that you can imagine it's going to take them a while to get it cracked, right? And that's part of how they work. They're a company that does a vigorous experimentation, but doesn't necessarily scale things up quickly and neatly in my experience, right? They have that pizza team mentality and the resources they've got to fight for are probably going to be fought over from everybody else. So I can imagine it might take them a while to get it on track from experience.
Yep. And you mentioned Facebook Live, and I've just started doing those myself, and I really like that platform, and I'm going to be doing more of those, mainly as a way of doing book promotions for my book that's coming up. But it's something, a platform I'm going to learn more and more about and how to use it better and, you know, the benefits of it. And then maybe at some future time, I'll be able to share that with your listeners.
That's great. I mean, and I think just to sort of wrap up on this, because we've got some future episodes we're going to do, but we'd probably both run out of time with this now, but we're definitely going to talk about goal setting, because I know that you've had an amazing time personally in setting some great goals with five books in 5 years, and you're on book number 3. So obviously that's working for you personally. And also that you're working with some extraordinarily successful companies, not just big companies, which is one thing, but companies that are scaling rapidly, like Pluggable and Puria, if that's how you say it. So we definitely want to revisit that in the future. But just to sort of sum things up, I think we've got a lot of really, I hope, very, very actionable stuff from this episode for Amazon sellers. What would you say, if you had to sum up in a nutshell, the top sort of 3 bits of advice you'd have for somebody who's scaling an Amazon business, who wants video marketing or recognizes the value of video marketing as a part of that? What are the top three things you would say to them to go and do?
Well, If you aren't using video, start using it. We're going to a video first society. And, you know, there's always a fear factor. You have to get comfortable. So just start using it if you aren't, and start deploying it on your Amazon listings. I think the second one would be to review your product images, and if you are using video, your video, and make sure you're calling out the benefits of the product in the video itself with the product titles, graphics, I mean. And I think that that will, you'll see an increase in conversions just by doing that. And then the third is really, it's almost a combination of everything we talked about today. Just keep learning, reading books, going to your mastermind. The more you can get feedback from other people, the more successful that's going to help you be.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to be biased about that because I run a mastermind, but I have to say the reason I run the mastermind and stopped running other things that weren't successful, the mastermind for people who are taking action is just brilliant because people go away, they'll hear something like this, they get inspired, they'll go and take some action, they'll get results. And yeah, there's no better way in my experience of learning. So I absolutely endorse that. And thank you for the encouragement to just get started. Sometimes that's what we need. You know, everybody's using video, get cracking with it. And reviewing your images on the listing is always a brilliant piece of simple but advice, but the, making the time and effort to do it. I guess if nothing else, I sometimes think that an expert like yourself will tell us what we know we should be doing, but they'll just push us over the edge from knowing to doing. And if that's all we've done, then that's fantastic because people are going to get commercial results from that and feel a lot better about their business. So Rick, amazing set of advice and very, very practical guidance as well as integrated into the big picture. That's what I love about your work and a great pleasure to have you on. I'm looking forward to having you back when you've launched your book and hearing all about that and your learnings from that and learning more about the goal setting topic that we're going to hold you to that.
And I just wanted to mention something for, especially, you know, for your mastermind group or whatever, they can go to my website, rickcesari.com, and there's a place where if they want, or just rick@rickcesari.com, if they would like to email me with questions on anything they're doing, I'm always happy to help people out.
Excellent. That's really helpful. And yes, please, I will bear that in mind. So Rick, R-I-C-K at rickcesari, that's rickcesari.com. Absolutely. And I suspect sooner or later, we're going to get you over to work with one of the masterminds to really hone people's video marketing, because I think it's that important a topic. But in the meantime, Rick, thank you very, very much for coming on and sharing all your wisdom and insight.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for Kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.